Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the podcast Amos Miller, who is the founder and CEO of Glidance. Hi Amos.
Jo, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
It's lovely to have you on the podcast. So let's jump right in and ask you what Glidance is.
So Glidance is a company which I run. I started Glidance about just under 2 years ago. We're out of Seattle in the US, and we're working on a new mobility aid that is called Glide. And the unique thing about Glide is that it's a self-guided mobility aid. It's using self-driving technology from the autonomous vehicle industry, using cool cameras and sensors and radars and AI, all packed into a very, people would agree, an elegant device. That we call Glide. And the idea with Glide, it has two wheels on the ground, a long handle. You hold the handle, you nudge the device forward, and you simply walk. And then what happens is that as you begin to walk, the wheels begin to steer a little bit to the left, a little to the right, guiding you around an obstacle, keeping you on the safe path, whether you're on a sidewalk or walking along a corridor or in a train station, keeping you nice and safe. And it can also help you to find and navigate to doors, down curbs, up curbs, crosswalks, or crossings, as they call it in England, and so forth. And so there's a whole bunch of other capabilities. But that's really what we're working on. It's a new mobility aid that will come alongside, really give people another option alongside the guide dog or the cane.
Okay, perfect. So what's your background, Amos? What made you sort of, what knowledge did you have to kind of jump in with this kind of very modern technology?
Yeah, so I think there's two broad aspects to it. One is my blindness, my own blindness experience, and also my love for technology. And so I have I have retinitis pigmentosa, so I lost my sight. The majority of my sight I lost in my early 20s while I was doing my computer science degree. I probably stopped using my sight by the age of 30 or so. By then I had a guide dog and I used JAWS and all the technologies we're all familiar with. Alongside that, I've always loved software and technology from a very young age. And I went into a career in software. I ended up in Microsoft, the Microsoft Research. I also, around 2000 and something, 2007, 8, I think, I joined the Guide Dogs for the Blind, the Board of Trustees. I then became the chairman for a period of time, which gave me another perspective, I guess, at the challenges that we have to empower people to get back on their feet, orientation and mobility training, the availability of guide dogs, and everything else. And I really, while I was at Microsoft, I actually created a partnership with Guide Dogs that led to one of the navigation products that folks might be familiar with called Soundscape. Mm-hmm. So I led the development of Soundscape while I was at Microsoft, which again it still has its kind of reincarnations in Voice Vista and Soundscape community. It was really an attempt to bring the best that we have in technology to help people with blindness be more confident when we're out and about, better orientation. But I still really felt that there's a lot of people out there that, including myself to a certain extent, that are just not confident enough with their existing mobility aids. So I use a guide dog. I work with my guide dog on my familiar routes. But when I, for example, I travel a lot of business, I don't usually take my dog on business because the dog doesn't know the way. I'm not confident enough to have my dog guide me through the airport that I'm not familiar with, or and through hotels and places. So I was looking for ways that we can really leverage the best in technology that exists today. And really provide people with something that can really bridge that gap and help people who may not be confident to get out and about to do so.
Okay, so you've talked about the sort of the size and the shape of Glide, but I've watched obviously some of the videos and things and some of the trials that people have done, the testers and everything.
Okay.
So I know that it has haptic feedback as well, doesn't it? Is that
Yeah, so
right? Yeah.
I can walk through the main idea. So it is, like I said, it's first of all, it runs on two wheels. The wheels are about 7 inches in diameter, so they're not tiny wheels. They're nice, good all-terrain wheels. They're pretty close together. They're about 7 inches apart. And that long handle that you hold, and as you the wheels are not motorized actually, so it doesn't actually pull you around. It's the wheels are freewheeling, and you basically nudge the device forward, pushing it yourself, and then the wheels steer. And that the, so the main way that you know which way to go is you just follow the device, you follow where it's going. A lot it feels a lot like holding on to the harness of a guide dog. If and I think a lot of people who've used a guide dog and have tried Glide see the similarity. Like you work the handle in a very similar way, apart from the fact that you're pushing it instead of it pulling you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we also, as you say, we have in the handle, we have haptics in the handle as well as audio, so voice, where you can speak to the device, it can speak back to you, and also haptics that can indicate to you, for example, if you are walking too fast and you're about to get to a curb, you might need to slow down a bit. So Glide can indicate to you with the haptic signal in the handle, slow down a bit, we're about to stop, and then when it gets to the curb, it will actually apply brakes in the wheels. Yeah. So there's haptics, there's voice, there's sound. But the main way that it communicates with you is by steering the wheel. And I emphasize that because I know that for a lot of people, having other sounds and audio can be distracting when they're out and about. Some people have hearing challenges, or the environment is too noisy, right? You're walking across Euston Station, it could be quite a racket, right? And you
Yeah,
may not hear
absolutely.
anything. But you can still just follow Glide and just go where it's going.
So when we've been chatting about it, because VI Talk run Zoom chats for the community, and when we've been chatting about Glide, some people have asked questions. So I think they'll probably be reassured to know that you've lived in England, so you have an idea of what our English roads are like. Because I know America is very sort of a lot of it is like a grid system, isn't it? They're quite nice, easy, straight, pathways and things, pavements, as
Yeah.
we call them over here. Whereas in a lot of parts of England, they're windy. There are, we have to walk along roads with no pavements, or, there aren't straight curbs. The crossings are all wonky, for want of a better word.
Yeah, let me first tell you that don't have grass might be greener, but One thing that I have learned from living in America now for about 8 years, America is not built for pedestrians.
Okay.
It is a nightmare. Like, apart from it, even in major city centers, most places have either very poorly maintained sidewalks, the crossings are at best compliant with the ADA requirements. Whether they're designed well to cross the road, like you have these tactiles, they're at a diagonal into the center of the intersection. They're not even on the side where the road crossings are. So I wouldn't give too much credit to the pedestrian experience in the US. If anything,
Okay.
it's the opposite, but that's what we have to deal with, right? And that's where I think, Glide combines GPS, so it's aware of where it is. It can access map data if it needs to, but it also has a wide lens camera and a depth camera and other sensors, so it can make sense of the environment and really help you figure out the best path to take, whether it's a site, a pavement along a road. If the pavement runs out, how do you keep along one side? If the crossing isn't painted well, but it can detect an up curb on the other side, it would look for that up curb and take you there. A lot like what you'd expect a guide dog to do.
Okay, so I know that quite a few people in the UK have pre-ordered Glide, and one of the questions that I was asked to ask you, no pressure, was will you have an agent in the UK to kind of support people with Glide? Because people were asking, would they need training to use it? You know, when it straight out of the box, would they be able to use it, or will there be some kind of training needed? And how would that work over here?
So first of all, I want to thank the people who have pre-ordered Glide. It means a lot to me personally and to the team. For us, we consider and we also tell people that we see that as a form of backing the project and backing the vision and being excited about what we are building, because Glide is still the best part of a year away before it will be ready, and it will likely go through a number of iterations before we ship, and also after we ship with the software and the capabilities. So I just want to say thank you to the people who have pre-ordered and are excited about what we're doing. It's very, very meaningful to us all. I forgot the question.
That's fine. Will you have an agent in the
Oh, will we
UK
have
to
an agent?
support
So,
people, and will
yes.
they need training with
Sorry,
Glide?
yeah.
Yeah.
So, we are really, as we go, we are learning ourselves what kind of training people are going to need and what kind of support they're going to require. We are investing at the moment, actually, in what we call the onboarding experience, in collaboration with a design university in Texas, that we have a relationship with, and they have connection with local blindness organizations, to really understand what is that out of the box experience. If somebody gets the device, how do they get familiar with their capabilities? Like we call it, like, from the moment you press buy on the button on the website until you take your first walk, what happens? Now, obviously, there are variations there, because some people will have had full orientation and mobility training before and are perfectly comfortable with their cane and guide dog, and they're just going to try and figure out how that fits, right? Other people will have other skills. Some people may have not, may have had a cane training a while back, but they're not all that confident when they're out and about. So there's quite a range to have to understand. And so really to address that, we are, first of all, we are doing tests ourselves, but we are also working with organizations, especially, for example, the CNIB actually have been very closely involved in really trying to help understand and help us understand what kind of support people are going to require. We've started the conversation with of course, with the RNIB, and are looking forward to really engage with the local organizations to understand that space. And you know what we are, one of the things that we're hearing from orientation, from mobility instructors, guide dogs instructors, and also from the organizations themselves, is that they also see this as an opportunity to A, to provide another service, but also hopefully to reach more people. If Glide can somehow shorten training times, if Glide can help, like if you move your job, right, and you need to learn your new route from your house, maybe you know the way from your house to the bus stop, but you have to get off at a different bus stop to get to a different building and learn that other building. Imagine if you could use, if your orientation or mobility instructor was able to show you that route once and train Glide on that route, so that Glide can now get you up and running on that route much quicker, and then the mobility instructor can check in with you a while later to see that you're good, or just be at the available at the other end of the phone if you have any questions. Like you can really help these organizations be more effective. And so we, long story, but I think just to give you kind of give you a sense for how we're looking at it, whether it would require an agent of guidance in the UK, if that's what it needs, then that's what it will be. But we'll see when the time comes.
That's great. I'm sure people will be pleased to hear that.
Yeah.
So you've just said that it might help sort of guide dog instructors, for example, to help people with new routes. So will Glide be able to sort of memorize a route as well? Because it's very high tech, isn't it? So would you be able to sort of program it with a regular route or something like that?
Yes, yeah, that's definitely a capability that we're working on. Memorizing routes indoors and outdoors. So if there are routes that you do on a regular basis, and you can choose that route, and Glide will guide you on that route. We are still working on the software to make it all happen. And so, like, everything I say here comes with quotations that might change. But our current plan is that you put Glide in a training mode for that particular stretch of route that you do, and then it learns that route. Basically, it does so by identifying landmarks that it will use to localize it. Yeah, and then it can repeat that route. And I see that really as a way to accelerate people's ability get up and running on a new route, right? Train Glide. Glide will take you on it. You do it after 2 weeks, you'll already know it by heart. You probably wouldn't need Glide to continue to own that route. You can go back to what we call freestyle navigation, where you decide when to turn. Because now by that point you've already mastered the route. Yeah. So
That makes sense.
yeah.
And how you said it's got all-terrain wheels, which is great. So how will it cope in sort of, I'm assuming it's going to be beta tested and everything. I know you said it's in, it's still in the early stages and you're still working on it and things might change. But so for example, icy conditions or, I mean, I know some of us wouldn't go out in icy conditions, but if we had to, for example, will it be able to cope in those kind of kind of almost extreme weather conditions, I guess.
I would I'm comfortable to make claims of its ability to manage in reasonable weather conditions, as in like rain and wind and like a miserable November day. But we would still need to do quite a bit of testing, and also probably updates to the software over time to improve the capability of Glide to managing in snowy conditions, in situations where the challenge is that if you can't see any of your landmarks, how do you know that you're on the sidewalk? On the pavement. You kind of use a very different set of cues, even as a sighted person. You say you kind of look for the store to and your angle to the store to know am I in the right place or not. And so, I mean, the way that we are building the Glide, what we call the sensible wayfinding system, which is really the smarts that underpins Glide, it's a learning artificial intelligence model. It's we have the model is constantly learning in our in the cloud system that we have, and then we learn from people's experiences and then update all the devices with the latest models all the time. Like it's a continuously learning system. And that's important to highlight. So when you buy your Glide and receive it sometime in September or December 25, you'll get a certain set of capabilities, and over time, Glide will be able to manage in more and more complex and challenging situations.
Perfect. So the big question that people are going to want to know is how much is Glide going to cost them? And is there an ongoing sort of
In
subscription
pounds?
for the, if you know in pounds, that'd be great.
Well, I can do the translation. We haven't really priced it in pounds, but basically, the Glide is 1499, so basically $1,500. So what would that be? About £1,200 or something like that.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Just off the top of my head, we do have a small subscription that comes with that. At $20 a month, and that's really designed to because Glide is a connected device, it's continuously learning, and a lot of the power, the AI power that you'll experience through the device, comes from the cloud as well. So this is a it's part and parcel of the overall experience, and with that, there'll be some warranties as well. So we want to make sure that people have what we call a worry-free experience with a mobility aid that they rely on. So that's the pricing. It's a very core tenet for us, a very core priority as a company for Glide to be a viable mobility aid for people, something that people can get and get on with their lives. We a lot of people ask us, why is it not more expensive? How come it's not $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, which a lot of the equipment that we all know and love does cost, right? These kind of prices. And honestly, we feel quite strongly that for Glide to become an accessible mobility aid for the majority of people, it just has to be affordable as much as possible, without having to rely on access to work or other sources of funding. Most people can afford a cell phone, a mobile phone, so that's our frame of reference. Okay, most people don't. Not everybody. I know that not everyone, and we are partnering with organizations to look at how, definitely like in the US, vocational rehabilitation organizations and the state funding for equipment and accommodations and so on. So, that will all be also possible. But it's also important for us that if you want to go on Amazon or to the Glidance website and order your glide, you can just do it without having to jump through hoops. So that's important for us. We'll see how that plays out. But so far, the community has embraced the model.
Okay. So somebody asked, if, and I wouldn't have thought of this, to be honest, because I'm not mechanically minded, but somebody asked if they were to purchase one and they were over here, and like with cars and things, tires wear out. If that happened, how would they get that sort of replaced or sorted out? And I
No.
wouldn't have thought of that question.
Well, I'll answer the question and then I'll but yeah, so we are definitely working on after sales service. The wheels are actually toolless replacement wheels, so you can easily snap them, take them off, so you can have a spare pair, and you can order another pair, and we will see if we can include in the subscription some form of a warranty where you get replacement wheels over time. We also plan to potentially have other types of wheels. So for people, if you're going to go hiking, you might have a bigger, fatter, kind of more dominant kind of wheels that will handle much rougher terrain as compared to something that you'd go to your commute into town. It's definitely a modular device, and we will make sure that any servicing is going to be as pain-free as possible. We actually had that conversation just yesterday with the I mentioned the university project we're kicking off. And one of the things we're looking at packaging, and one of the questions that we had was, could we look at the packaging not only from how it arrives, but also if you need to send back a part or, like how could that work? We're definitely looking at those questions. I don't have all the answers for that. But one thing I do want to add, these questions that you never thought about, right, are so important to us, and that for me, that's a segue to sort of a really important aspect of how I think about the development of Glide. That we at Glidance, we are very, very committed to develop this device out in the open with the community, so that we can hear those questions, because we can't think of all the questions. We don't know all the answers. We have to hear them. We have to discuss them in these kind of conversations, Joe. We also do regular the last Wednesday of every month, we have a Zoom call that people can dial in and join the team, the engineering team, the product team, and really bring up these questions, discuss them. We often pose questions back to the community. Hey, how do you think about this? How would you think about that? It's so important as these devices become part of our daily life that we start to address these complicated questions. Some of them are about the features of the device. Some of them are about like you said, training, safety. How does the public consider them? These devices, somebody will seeing me walking with Glide, will they understand that I'm blind or not? Like I don't have all the answers to these questions. I think these are community debates that we need to have. So I really want to emphasize and welcome and invite your listeners and any of their friends and people who might be interested to join our lively community, all you need to do is go to our website and register. It's pretty straightforward, and you'll be invited to these meetings. You'll be getting updates from us. We do demos. We are also planning a visit to the UK sometime in the fall. We don't have the exact dates yet, but all the information will come up for people who register with us. And I just encourage people to be part of this as much as they can and want to be. There is that opportunity for folks to back the project through a pre-order, but it's not necessary to be part of this. And that's exactly because we can't guess all the questions. We really need to have that ongoing conversation with the community.
Yeah, definitely. And that's great. I know the community will appreciate, you know, the transparency, and I get the updates, and, you know, they're invited to the Zoom chats and things, and it's great, isn't it? It's nice to have a company
I love
that's
these
transparent.
Zoom conversations. I the whole team look forward to, we actually have one tomorrow, and we get ready for them, and we enjoy that interaction very, very much.
And you've got a very talented team, haven't you? It has to be said.
I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Yes. Lots of amazing experience and knowledge there, isn't there, in the team?
Yeah. Incredible.
Mm. So I guess probably one of the final questions I've got is that if somebody was a little bit hesitant, perhaps to pre-order, but will there be an opportunity in the future for them to sort of have a go, or sort of try before you buy, I suppose, just to, you know, so that people can see for themselves? I know you said you're planning to come over to the UK later this year.
Yeah, I mean, we know that first, there's nothing like a first-hand experience.
Mm.
And we'd love to make that more available, and we are working to do that. So first of all, we call them demo days. These are when we do come to a location and invite people to come and experience. We've had one in New York, we've had one in Toronto, we had one alongside the conventions in Florida, and we're planning to do more of those this fall.
Mm-hmm.
We're just waiting for the next version of our device to be ready, which should be ready by the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
So demo days are a good way, but we know that doesn't scale. I mean, that gives... So what we always tell people in our demo that come to the demo days, that now it's their role to communicate with other people about their experience.
Yeah.
So at least to give people some kind of an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Our virtual demo days also go into a, you know, blow by blow type of description of the experience, and we're working on a set of videos to help people get a feel for what it feels like. We bring gliders who have had an opportunity to try glide to share their experience. So we're doing everything we can to help people get a first-hand experience, even if they can't touch the device yet.
Yeah.
What I would say is, even after, like, one thing that one policy that we've already put as a guarantee is that if you buy the device, you receive it, and it's not for you, you can always send it back. The one condition that we put on that is that we would like you to keep it for 30 days and give it your best shot.
That's fair, isn't it?
And so if you do decide to pre-order now, that's you've always got that option. But again, if you it is early, and I don't, I you know, if you the pre-order, here's the benefit of the pre-order, and that's how we thank people for pre-ordering, is you get a 30% discount. And if you pre-order before the end of December, then you will be in the first batch to receive the device. That's our promise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really to thank people who are willing to back and support the project at this early stage.
Yeah.
But the, you know, we will continue to take orders next year. And hopefully within the year and a half or so, we will get to the point that people can just order the device and get it in within a few days. But that's our plan. We'll see, Joe, how it all pans out.
So, do you want to give the web address? So, for anybody who wants to sign up and, yep.
Glidance.io. So the word glidance comes from the word guidance, but with an L instead of the U. So that's the glidance, glidance.io. That's the website, and all the information is really on the website, and it's pretty easy to register. There's a great frequently asked questions page with a lot of detail. Basically, most of the questions that we get from people that we'll see repeat questions and so on, we'll add them to the list. So it's a very comprehensive. You can also download it as a PDF if you want to use your Victor Stream Reader or something else to read the content. You can do that as well.
Fabulous. Well, I wish you the best of luck with it, and I look forward to getting future updates and seeing how it progresses. And it's certainly very forward-thinking technology, isn't it? And we all know that AI and everything is big business. So yeah, I just wish you the best of luck with it, Amos.
Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate the opportunity. I invite everybody to again to take part. Want to hear from you. Looking forward to working with everyone as we get these devices into the people's hands.